Gentlemen, good morning. First of all, I'd like to make a correction from Sunday. On Sunday, Bruce asked me about lighting candles and about various things that have to do with lighting candles on Yontiv, and I quoted that the Sma quotes in the name of his mother that she had a chiddush. On Shabbos, you accept Shabbos when you light candles according to the Bahag. The Ramah says you should be machmir like the Bahag, so you have a catch-22. You make the bracha, but you can't light the candles because you just accept the Shabbos, and on Shabbos you're not allowed to light candles. So we light the candles before, and we make the bracha after.
Even if you have in mind that you're about to light, I mean,
that's a question. If your mindset can change that, that's a question.
Because people have mind, they light candles.
I understand. I understand. I'm not saying tnai doesn't work, but there's a big machlekes if tnai works in mitzvahs. So it's not so simple. However, on Yontiv you can light candles by transferring fire. So therefore, you hold a candle in your hand, which you've already lit. You make the bracha, even if you accepted Yontiv, it's not a violation of Yontiv to light the candle. So says the mother of the Sma, you should go ahead and light the candle after the bracha, like we do in every other mitzvah. We make the bracha before the Hanukkah candles, and we light the Hanukkah candles. We make the bracha before the Megillah, and then we read the Megillah. We make the bracha before eating matzah, and then we eat the matzah. We make the bracha before we maror, then we do the maror and lulav, etc., etc.
24-hour backlight candles are quite useful for the whole having already the candle for lighting when going into Yom Tov.
Say again?
I said the 24-hour backlight candles are quite useful for the having a lit candle around.
It is very useful. In Israel, we barely need it because we only have one day of Yom Tov. In Chutz La'aretz, you need it because you have 2 days of Yom Tov, so you definitely do need that Yortzeit candle in order to transfer fire for the second night of Yom Tov. And in Israel, of course, we need it for Rosh Hashanah, and if the Beis HaMikdash is not built, then then Rosh Hashanah this year is a 3-day Yom Tov, so we'll definitely need not a 24-hour, not a 48-hour, but perhaps even a 72-hour candle, so that by Friday night you can light candles for Shabbos. Pardon?
They make
no big deal. They make 48 hours. My correction. Dr. Melech Tannen, who listens to the Shiurim, who lives in Thornhill, who I had the pleasure of meeting on my recent trip, and he was such a great and amazing help to us as we organized our convention in North America. Dr. Melech Tannen listened to the Shiur and made a correction that's correct. The Sma did not write his introduction to the Shulchan Aruch, where this Chiddush is quoted. His son did. So his son wrote the introduction, not necessarily saying I'm the son, but we all know it's the son. And he says, my mother. His mother was the Sma's wife. And the correction I am happy to make this morning is that it's not the Chiddush of the Sma's mother, Chiddush of the Sma's wife. From this we learn that A, I could be wrong. Doesn't happen often, Bruce, but it happens. And I'm very happy to correct myself, and I thank Dr. Melech Tannen for pointing it out to me. Number two, and more importantly...
We were talking about that. We were going to point it out.
Oh, are you?
But we didn't want to.
You're such a nice guy. Don't worry next time. Point it out. And number two, I am very happy that husbands and wife talk in Torah. Here, the Sma spoke to her husband about this, overheard. And here we go. You got a chiddush. That's very important. Now, that's what I wanted to correct from Sunday. Let's go on to Wednesday. Since Sunday, a very great man passed away, Rabbi Fruman, Zichrono Livracha, the rabbi of Tekoa near us. I can't say I knew him intimately. I say at the outset that I thought, maybe still think, that in many of the things he said and in many of the things he did, he looked a little bit like a quacker to me. However, you could see that he was a great man. Whether I am right or wrong, I don't know, but I have to judge by reality. So many, and there's no question that he was in the sense of a very righteous and spiritual man, and that's what I wanted to speak about today in his memory. He, as you know, was the rabbi of Tekoa. He's in our neighborhood, and therefore I think it's our responsibility to at least say a few words in honor, and I'll try to connect it to the shir that we always give. What we try to do here in our shir is to say we did a mitzvah, and now what? What are we supposed to feel? And that, I believe, was Rabbi Fruman, in a way, we're supposed to feel. The man was totally and utterly, in my opinion, spiritual. That's what he was. If you opened up his body, all you would see was spirituality. In order for me to put it in context, let's think about something we're going to go through this Shabbos. This Shabbos, what parsha did we read?
Vayakel
and Pekudei and Achodesh. Leaving Achodesh aside, Vayakel and Pekudei are the most boring parshas in the Torah. They're measurements, building. If you're an architect, you're probably in heaven. And if you're not an architect, you're bored out of your mind. Now, within this parsha, we see that the Jewish people built the various vessels of the Mishkan, got everything ready, and brought in Moshe, and they said, here we go, we got it all ready. At that point, the pasuk says as follows. I quote. There's a page missing in this. Wow. No. Here we go. Vayar Moshe et kol ha-melacha. Moshe saw everything the Jewish people did to prepare the Mishkan. V'hinei asu ota kasher tziva Hashem kein asu. And they did it exactly like God said to do. Vayevarech otam Moshe. Translate. No one knows what Vayevarech otam Moshe means.
Moshe blessed them.
No trick questions in this class. And Moshe blessed them. Correct? Moshe blessed them. No trick questions in my class. There's no such thing as rhetoric questions. What did he bless them with? Says Rashi. Amar lahem, he said to them, Yehi rotzom chetishre shchino b'matze yedeichem. May it be God's will that the holy presence of God rests within the toil that you've invested in creating all these vessels and all the ornaments to the Mishkan. V'hinoam Hashem Elokeinu aleinu, ma'aseh yadeinu konana aleinu, may the grace of God be in everything we do. What is Rashi trying to teach us here? So we're going to hear this Shabbos, we're going to read it in the Torah, and now what? What is Rashi trying to tell us? And without going into great detail, what do you think this three words in the Torah, Moshe blessed them, added to the building of the Mishkan?
I would have thought Moshe's blessing them the success of building it.
But it's done already. So Moshe should have said, Yesher Koyach! Chazak u'baruch, depending if Moshe was a Sparty or an Ashkenazi. But bottom line is, Moshe says, Yehi Ratzon, may be God's will, Shetir Shechina b'maisa yedeichem, that the holy presence of God should be part of the toil of your hands. What did Moshe want to add to the building of the Mishkan, to the experience of the Jewish people?
I guess that the building functioned the way it's meant to be, and they had shalom there, and it worked well, and that all of their toil be success in the eyes of blind people.
Trying to sharpen what you just said, in my opinion, what Moshe basically said in this three words, Vayivarech Otam Moshe, was, you guys worked very hard. You put together this and that. You had to sew the various covers for the Mishkan. You had to make the Kalim. It wasn't easy. You needed Bitzalel. You needed all his helpers. Bottom line is, you worked very hard physically. When you work very hard physically, you may think that you are working hard physically, l'shem, working hard physically. In other words, why do you work hard physically? In order to do physical labor. When do we have this experience? Every single year. When we build a little, quote-unquote, Beis HaMikdash, what is it called? What is the place we live in only for 7 days a year?
Sukkah.
The sukkah. So here we are, we're building the sukkah, this screw doesn't line up with this hole, and we're trying and it doesn't work. It's very physically taught, it's very physically tiring. It's not easy to build a sukkah every year. You may think that that is an absolute physical act. And indeed, even though the Yerushalmi says that you make a bracha on building a sukkah, not just on living a sukkah, we don't postulate like the Yerushalmi. So ultimately, you're building the sukkah, and you probably think it's physical labor, the shame physical labor. You're cleaning your entire house Friday for Shabbos. You probably think, I'm cleaning, the shame cleaning. Comes Rashi and says, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu had to add not just Yesher Koyach, but rather Vayivarech Otam Moshe, was Moshe's attempt to add a spiritual dimension to the physical labor. So when you build your sukkah, you will say, I am doing this in order to have a place to live and to function for 7 days, and hopefully feel spirituality coming down from heaven. When you go ahead and clean your house for Shabbos, it's not in order to have a clean house, but to have a beautiful abode for you to function in for the next 25 hours of sanctity that's about to come upon us on Shabbos. So what was Moshe saying? Why were these three words added? Why didn't Moshe just say, Yesha Koyach? Or Chazaku Baruch? Because he wanted to add the spiritual dimension to the physical. And therefore, listen to his words, he rushed on to Tishra Shechina B'maisa Yadecha. Not, let me check if it's good, let me see if the measurements, no. I hope the Shechina was part of your building. I hope the spirituality was part of your physical labor. Yes, Bruce?
Yeah, so now you phrased it differently. I thought you were, he was blessing the work for building it. But when I read the, who is Otem, who is them? Them is the entire Jewish people. It's not just the people who work.
Everyone that was involved.
So that's why I thought.
No, but it's sort of a bit, you would think, a bit out of order. In that, if he's going to bless them with that blessing before they start the work. So as they're doing the work, there's the consciousness that there's a spirituality as they're doing the work, rather than after it's completed.
So, as you know, Rashi is of the opinion that ein mukdam u'mu'uchar ba-Torah. There's no chronological order in the Torah. So it could very well be this pasuk was said beforehand.
You're going to bless them that
it could be again. It could be that it was said. It was said earlier, but even if it was said later, I mean, it wasn't that. I'm sure that they brought all the vessels to Moshe. They still have to build the Mishkan. So at some point, Moshe said, "Let the spirituality be here." Now, I'm saying this because I have a feeling that the Jewish people today, many of the rabbis and educators, are concerned very much with the physical aspect of Judaism. To make sure that you dress properly, especially for girls. To make sure you wash your hands three times in the morning. To make sure you put on tefillin and you daven. Those are the physical aspects of Judaism called mitzvahs. And we don't believe, like in Catholicism, that it's just spirituality. It is physical mitzvahs. But we can't forget the spiritual aspect. How do I know this is true? From a very famous machlokas, Ramban and Rashi. It says in Sefer Devarim that we are forbidden to forget the day we stood at Sinai. Anyone remember the pasuk? Yom Asher Amat Lefnei Hashem Elokecha B'Sinai is the pasuk. What's the pasuk beforehand say? Yishamer Lecha Shmor Nafshecha Me'ot. Be very careful. Guard your soul. V'Tishkach Et Hadvarim Asher Ra'u Einecha. God forbid you should forget the things your eyes saw. U'fen Yasu Milvavecha. And God forbid they should leave your heart. And you shall tell your children and your grandchildren. What should you tell them? Next pasuk, Yom Asher Amat Lefnei Hashem Elokecha B'Sinai, the day you stood before God at Sinai. So what can't we forget? We see the pasuk goes crazy. Shmor Nafshecha, be very careful, don't forget it, make sure you tell your children, let it be in your hearts, let it be in your soul. What? The day we stood before God in Sinai. Comes along Rashi and says, what can't we forget? The mitzvahs that were said at Sinai. Because God forbid you're going to forget the mitzvahs, you're going to make mistakes. Imagine if you go to a shir about Hilchos Shabbos, and your rabbi spoke, and you were half asleep, you're looking at your iPod, you didn't listen, whatever. You come home, your mother who wants to know Hilchos Shabbos says, what did the rabbi say? Oh, he was speaking about soup, and he was speaking about cooking, and he was speaking about Shabbos, so I guess the rabbi said that you're supposed to cook a soup on Shabbos. Well, very nice. The man didn't listen, the man forgot. And what did he encourage his mother to do? Chilul Shabbos d'oraisa. To violate Shabbos on a biblical level. Because he forgot. Therefore the Mishnah Novel says that if you forget anything Mishnato from your learning intentionally, it's a terrible crime. You might be the violation of which I'm not even going to say what the punishment is. So that's what Rashi says. You can't forget those at Sinai. Because if you forget them, you can't function as a Jew. The Jewish lifestyle, the halachic Jewish lifestyle was given to the Jews at Sinai. And if you forget it, you're going to mix meat and milk and you're going to violate Shabbos. Yeah.
Could it be that we're not supposed to forget the experience of Sinai?
Bruce reads the mind of the Ramban. Comes along Nachmanides and says Rashi is wrong. What does the pasuk say? Yom asher amata lifnei Hashem Elokecha b'Sinai. It's the experience of Sinai. the thunder and the lightning and the feeling and the Yiras Hashem, that's what we can't forget. It is not and never was the mitzvahs per se. Of course you have to learn Torah and know how to live as a Jew. But that pasuk is referring to the experience. I like to always say they're both correct. It's right in the psukim. Sham lecha shmon nafshecha me'ot. Be very careful and watch your soul. Be very careful means physically careful. Don't mix mint and milk. Shmon nafshecha me'ot. Let your soul be guarded. That's the spiritual aspect. Pen tishkach tadvarim asher ra'ui necha ufen yasuru milvavecha. If you forget the things you saw, and let it not leave your heart. What's in the heart of a Jew? I have to eat kosher, and I have to keep Shabbos, etc. What's in the eyes of a Jew? The experience of Judaism. So ultimately, they're both correct, in my opinion. And on your tefillin that you wear every day, in my opinion, both of these aspects are represented. What am I talking about? What do you have in your tefillin, Shalosh? A shin. Why does everyone look at me as if I just gave the chiddush of the century? Did you put on tefillin this morning? Mm-hmm. Did you see the shin? Mm-hmm. Okay. One side of the shin has a three-legged shin. The other side has a four-legged shin. It's based on a comment of the Shimusha Rabba and the Beis Yosef. He says this is the way you make tefillin. One shin is three-legged, one is four-legged. That's what we have on two sides of that black box you put on your head this morning called tefillin. Says the Beis Yosef on the tour. That one represents the shin in the Torah. If you look in the Torah, Sefer Torah, the shin has three legs. But the four-legged shin was Aseres Adibros. So we have both. Oh, it's beautiful. The three-legged shin represents the Torah. The Torah tells me not to mix meat and milk and to keep Shabbos and to keep Yom Tov to go crazy before Pesach. That's the three-legged shin. Living as a Jew physically. What's the four-legged shin? What's the Aseres Adibros? Why are those 10 dibros different from the rest of the Torah is the question of the century. Very simply, that's the souvenir from Maimon Har Sinai. So every morning when a Jew takes out his tefillin and sees it, he says, I have to physically live as a Jew, as it says in the Torah, with the three-legged shin, representative of that. And I have to spiritually feel like I am standing before God, as I did at Sinai, the four-legged shin, representing that Aseres Adibros, which is our souvenir from Sinai. This Rashi in our Parsha says, not enough to build the Mishkan, you have the spiritual feel that you are spiritually doing something to build for the Jewish people, having a godly abode upon earth. That was the Mishkan. Based on this, I believe that is the legacy of Rabbi Fruman, of the little bit I knew. Now, he was totally, in my opinion, spiritual. Obviously, he kept Torah and mitzvahs, but he was totally spiritual. Because he was totally spiritual, I think everything he said was totally impractical and never really came to fruition. He really believed that if you're a spiritual person, you can't, God forbid, encourage human beings to kill other human beings. And therefore, he engaged in dialogue with all the Arab religious leaders of the most terrible terrorist organizations, because he believed if you're spiritual, then you have to love people. And he thought that's the way we're going to make peace. We're going to circumvent the politicians. We're going to get the religious leaders to say every human life is important. Every human life is vital. And therefore, because of that, God forbid, are you going to go and encourage your people to kill Jews and to kill anyone for that matter? And on the other end, you couldn't fathom that a Jewish government would go ahead and evacuate Jews from their homes. And therefore, at the same time where he engaged in dialogue with every single Arab leader and wanted a Palestinian state and whatnot, he refused to even think of evacuating Jews from any settlement. Living together, practically, is like impossible to understand. Honestly, if you're for Palestinian state, then obviously for evacuation of Jews. And if you're against evacuation of Jews, you can't be for a Palestinian state. You probably don't like the Arabs. This man was totally spiritual. He can live with both. And he did both. Yes, what his legacy was. He loved Eretz Yisrael and he loved the human beings. But he was totally spiritual. Now, I don't know if we can live that way. I don't know if it's practical to live that way. But he does, with his death, give us a challenge. And here is the challenge. When we build the sukkah, do we feel anything spiritually? As Moshe Rabbeinu just blessed the people when they built the Mishkan. When we do a mitzvah, like eating matzah, putting on tefillin, wearing a talis, do we feel anything spiritually? Or is it just physical? Doing this, wrapping this, eating that, shaking this. That is, in my opinion, the challenge he leaves us here on earth as he went, God willing, to higher abodes in heaven. Are we spiritually motivated or just physically motivated when we wash our hands in the morning 3 times? I believe with all my heart that it is impossible to function and have any sort of continuity to the Jewish people, to think that we will be able to perpetuate the legacy of the Jewish people with Torah and mitzvos if there's no spirituality involved. And therefore, I encourage everyone here today to go home, some today, tomorrow, and look on the internet for the following movie. Kihilot Madlikot. Communities Light. It's on YouTube. You can watch it. And ultimately, this movie goes around communities in the world and shows how the communities function around Hanukkah time. Look at the one on Boston, since we're all English speakers and Anglos, where they go into the most liberal school in Boston, and they try at that point to see what they have. And you're not going to like what you see. You're going to see a guy going to the mikveh, and you're going to see Jews that are spiritually motivated to make latkes, but they keep treif at home. You're not going to like what you're going to see. But what you're going to see in that movie is a lot of spirituality without the Torah and mitzvahs. Now, you're not going to like the movie, because you're going to say, where's the commitment to halacha? But one thing you will have to be challenged with after you see that movie: are we spiritually motivated like them? Are we excited about lighting Hanukkah candles as if like that little girl on the movie is, who comes from a home of intermarriage? Or not? I think it's not enough for us to do Torah and mitzvahs. We need to think how to be spiritually motivated with our Torah and mitzvahs. Easy it's not, but a challenge it remains.
Don't you think there's a little contradiction in terms of, you see this? Think how to be feeling.
Don't think how to feel.
No, that's what you said.
No.
Think how to be spiritual.
Think about the spiritual aspect of what you do. Not go ahead and think spirituality. You're right, that is a contradiction. It's supposed to be in the heart, not in the mind.
You can't will yourself to feel free.
Correct! God forbid, you can't will yourself to feel anything.
Why do you go into the system when you read about how to do a mitzvah? Why isn't part of that requirement?
It is. We just don't look at it. It is. First of all, you don't just do a mitzvah, you make a bracha first. That should put you in the right mindset. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotah v'tzivanu. Just look at those words and see what it means. First of all, Baruch Ata Hashem. Blessed be you, God. I'm a little lowly human being blessing God, the master of the universe. Even though he's Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotah. You care so much about me to command me and sanctify me to light the Hanukkah candles.
No, but even if you don't know Hebrew.
Wait.
You make that
wrong. Wait. There's a kavana that's supposed to go with the mitzvos. There's a machlokas in Shulchan Aruch. If you need kavana for mitzvos, yes, no, maybe, I don't know. The bottom line is, what's kavana mean? Kavana to do a mitzvah? It means you're supposed to have the right mindset, at least, that you're doing a mitzvah. You're not just doing a physical act. It's not walking. It's walking to shul. It's not shaking. It's shaking a lulav.
But I think if you just pick up a lulav, even without a bracha, if you pick it up, you've sort of done the mitzvah.
That's not only did you sort of do a mitzvah, you did the mitzvah. The Gemara says, "Mida agbe nafikbe." The minute you pick it up, you did the mitzvah. One second. Obviously, the Torah is a very, very sensitive document that comes and says, I know human beings. God knows human beings better than any of us. He knows the way you are. You're not going to always have the right mindset. You're not going to always be spiritually motivated. So, if you do the mitzvah, you did the mitzvah. Check. But I'm saying to you, even though you did the mitzvah, would your kids want to do the mitzvah the way you did it? I mean, if a guy gets up Friday night, takes the wine, has a clean cup, picks it up at Tefach and says Kiddush. And this is the way he says Kiddush. Let's wash. Do you think your kids are going to want that Shabbos table when they grow up? Now, did you do the mitzvah?
Well, technically saying it is a mitzvah.
You absolutely did the mitzvah. Will the Jewish people perpetuate themselves with that kind of mitzvah? With the way you did the mitzvah? I doubt it. I truly, truly doubt it. If a person comes home Friday night, and instead of being excited about the Shabbos table, he comes home and says, "Ah, it's already late, and what a week, I can't wait to get to bed. All right, let's get this over with." Do you really think the people around the table, be it your kids, your grandchildren, your guests, are going to say, "Oh, this is the Judaism I want in my house. I will next week and I'm home, and the kayim mitzvah of Shabbos table. I'm so tired. All right, let's make Kiddush."
But your question, it begs the question, right? Let's say there's a mitzvah to tell your wife that you love her. So you come home and you have to say, and the wife says, no. And you say, yeah, I love you. So did you do the mitzvah? Did you technically set it?
We spoke about this once at length, Bruce. I refer you to a shiur we already gave about the difference between interpersonal mitzvahs and mitzvahs between us and God, in which I suggested that an interpersonal mitzvah is not enough to do the act, but rather to feel that you are doing chesed. It's not enough to give a tremp, but it's actually something that you have to feel. Tzedakah you can give, perhaps without. But the same thing there, tzedakah you can give without kavanah. The question is, will it perpetuate itself? That's the question I want to ask again. It's not, the question today on the table is not, do you do the mitzvah? The answer is yes, affirmative, you did the mitzvah. No. Be happy with yourself, you did a mitzvah. But I'm saying to you, it's not going to perpetuate itself if all it is do a mitzvah.
No, but maybe
you
not.
You can't command to feel it.
Absolutely not. You have to be challenged to feel love for your wife, even though every day you're doing everything a husband should do. You're treating her with respect, and you go ahead and you provide for the house and for a home, and you don't make her life miserable. It's fine.
Can you do mitzvah, have kavanah for the mitzvah, but not necessarily the feeling? Have kavanah but not feeling.
I believe the kavanah will bring in the feeling, because you're already speaking in spiritual language.
But you can have kavanah.
Yes,
feeling.
But it will lead to it, in my opinion.
But I think there's something wrong if you throw a buck at someone who technically has done tzedakah. Maybe
it's
having the proper mindset.
It's not. It's a machlokas in Shulchan Aruch about mitzvot. In general, we postulate that at a mitzvah ben adam lechaveiro, you do have to go ahead. Ben adam mitzvot midoraisa, you do need kavana. Mitzvot the rabbanon, you don't necessarily need kavana. So in mitzvot the rabbanon, for example, you don't need kavana. Having said that, again, I throw out the question: even if you did the mitzvah, will the next generation do the mitzvah if that's the way you do it, or not?
So when you say Shema, if you don't know what you're saying, because you don't know the word.
That's a different question. You don't know the word.
Why does that technically count?
Again, why don't... First of all, you're mixing up two terms here. First is you don't know the words. There's another question totally, and that is, when you say Shema, do you feel I'm a kabel al tzmi o machut shamayim, I'm accepting upon myself the yoke of heaven, or not? That's a totally different question.
So let's say that he doesn't know. He reads the Shema. He says the words because he can read it.
So that's exactly what we were speaking about, Bruce. Exactly. When you educate children, do we just want to be concerned with say the Shema every day, put your hand on your head, or do we go a step further after they've trained themselves like a good trained monkey and go and say, okay, you're not a monkey, you're a human being. Now let's add spiritual aspect.
But also, when he says that Shema, has he done this before?
Yes, probably.
So
but Shema's Dol Raisa, it's actually iffy. But maybe only needs Kavana is, okay, I accept upon myself to do what the Jews are supposed to do, and he puts his hand on his hand, that's good enough. But again, is that going to perpetuate or not?
That's a second question.
That's a question we're dealing with.
Well, you did the same thing now, what? I mean,
that's exactly why we're devoting the year to it. I don't see the Jewish people continuing to function with Shomrei Torah or mitzvos if the way we do mitzvos are like trained monkeys. I don't see it happening. Now, how do you do it? I'm not so sure Rabbi Fruman's shita of radical spirituality is the way to go, but he definitely challenges us. And with his death, we should feel challenged. Atkan.